fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. And we're going to consider today verses 15 to 21. That's Proverbs chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. I'd like to remind you that this chapter in the book of Proverbs is part of the central section of the book, which began in chapter 10, verse 1, and continues to chapter 22, verse 16. Now, this section is a collection of proverbs in the accepted sense of the term. Pithy sayings which express wise rules of conduct, warnings, lessons drawn from experience, and moral reflections. They are designated as the Proverbs of Solomon and for the most part are unconnected sentences without systematic order or logical sequence. However, they are remarkable for profound thought and acute observation expressed in antithetical or illustrative form, the whole comprising a divine system of morals of universal application, a treasury of wisdom in all its diversified details, personal, domestic, social, and civil. Now, in these verses that we have before us today, verses 15 to 21, there are seven proverbs. The first one is a proverb that regards simplicity, which says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." The simple person is a person who is easily enticed and seduced. He's a credulous person. He is inexperienced. And the simple person, then, believes every word. He is excessively trustful. He's deficient in discernment, and he often falls into trouble. Now, faith is one of the principal things in life, and faith in God, of course, is absolutely essential both for our coming to be a child of God and for our life in its entirety. But true faith is grounded on evidence and can only be exercised according to the character and measure of that evidence. But the simple person, the person who is easily enticed, does not take time to verify the evidence on which he puts his trust. But it says here in verse 15 that the prudent man looketh well to his going, and the prudent man is the very opposite to the simple one. He's shrewd, he's crafty, he's the one that takes time to deliberate over evidence. And so he looks well to his way, his goings. That is to say, he brings understanding to the way that he travels, and he looks before he leaps. He weighs all the evidence and then acts according to that evidence. In verse 16, there's a proverb regarding overconfidence. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Now, the wise man here is a person who uses knowledge wisely and practically. He's the one who uses his head. He's the sensible person, and he is sensible in all his decisions and all of his conduct. It says here, this person feareth. Now, we have a very similar proverb back in the third chapter and verse 7, where it says, "Fear the Lord and depart from evil." So, you see, the wise man spirit and departeth from evil. Again, in chapter 8 and verse 13, we read, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So the wise man feareth. That is, he has a proper attitude to begin with towards the Lord. And having that proper attitude towards the Lord, he becomes reverently cautious in his ways so that he is able to depart from evil. He avoids misfortune. He saves himself from harm. But on the other hand, the fool rageth and is confident. Now, the fool is one who is morally defective. And he is morally defective because he refuses to take God into account. The Word of God says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And as a result, he makes a mock at sin. So he rageth. He acts presumptuously. He acts impulsively and becomes involved in trouble. And, of course, as he moves in his impulsive actions, he is overconfident of his own security. Verse 17, there's a proverb regarding anger. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. In these two lines, there is a comparison, contrast between sudden passion and settled malice, or settled purpose of malice. Now notice what it says. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. That is, a person given to sudden passion, one who is short-tempered, he acts impulsively, just like the fool acted in verse 16. You see, the fool rageth, the fool is impulsive, the fool is presumptuous. So, the person who is soon angry acts like the fool. He deals foolishly. And a man of wicked devices is hated. That is, a person who cherishes malice towards another, so as to carefully and deliberately plan out his wicked schemes against him, he provokes hatred. That's settled, deliberate anger and wrath. So hasty anger leads to folly, but deliberate purpose in malice leads to settled hatred. And this reveals the fact that sin grows from weakness to willfulness. Well, weakness makes a man contemptible, but willful sinning makes him abominable. In verse 18, there is a proverb regarding preference. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Now, the simple person is the person who is easily enticed and seduced. He's the credulous person. He's the person who is inexperienced, and therefore he is excessively trustful. Now, this person inherits folly. You see, he'll have folly as his possession. In his credulity, he gives preference to what is foolish in action, and so the result is folly will be his portion in life. But on the other hand, the prudent person, he's the shrewd one, he's the crafty one, he's the wise one, are crowned with knowledge. Now, that means those who are wise will have knowledge as their crown, their ornament. You see, a crown is a reward that adorns and honors a person. And just like the simple who acts foolishly and who prefers that which is foolish will inherit his folly, the prudent one, the one who acts wisely, will have as his reward the crown of knowledge. And it will bring honor to him, and it will adorn him. Why, he has preferred to follow the pathway of deliberate investigation of evidence, and the result is he will be adorned with knowledge. Then in verse 19, there is a proverb regarding justice. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. We're living in a day when it seems that evil is on the throne and truth is on the scaffold. However, there will come a day when there will be a reversal and there will be justice meted out. You see, the word translated bow in verse 19 is in the Hebrew language a prophetic perfect. And this is a Hebrew idiom that speaks of something to take place in the future as though it had already taken place. And the word bow governs both lines of this verse. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked bow at the gates of the righteous. And this simply means this, that the evil shall surely ultimately bow before the good, and the wicked shall surely stand humbly in bowed position at the gates of the righteous. There's a very interesting statement in the book of Revelation to one of the churches to which the Lord addresses, that he will cause them who are of the synagogue of Satan to bow down and worship before those who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know that God Almighty has loved them. And so it is that when God metes out justice for all that's being done in this world, when he rights every wrong, then the evil will have to bow in the presence of the good, and the wicked will have to bow humbly at the gates of those who are righteous. In verse 20, there is a proverb regarding popularity. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. Now, the word hated here doesn't necessarily mean harbor malice toward, but probably means simply the poor are not popular. They're unpopular even of his own neighbor. But the rich hath many friends. Very interesting statement again in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. Our version says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. The Hebrew text can mean, he that maketh many friends doeth it to his own destruction. And this has its bearing upon the proverb before us today, which says, the rich hath many friends. Yes, there may be many, but they are fair-weather friends, and will desert them when the going gets tough, you see. And so this proverb regards popularity. And then, finally, in verse 21, there's a proverb regarding graciousness. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. Why? Simply because Leviticus 19:18 says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Therefore, to assume superior airs toward and look with contempt upon one's neighbor, one sins. But he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. That is, the one who is gracious to the lowly, to the humble, he is filled with the blessednesses of the Lord.
You've been listening to another lesson in our continuing studies from the book of Proverbs on the Bible Institute of the Air. Today's study was by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.